At Christmas, we in a particular way think of the first coming of the Lord Jesus. Even though Christmas is so commercialized, still in the midst of it all, the manger scene is often portrayed, a reminder that the Christ child was born. I'd like to think with you, first of all, of this coming of the Lord Jesus, the first coming. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. Time and again, the prophets spoke this message, a message concerning this Savior, this Messiah, this Redeemer who was to come. Isaiah mentions him in Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And you remember in other scriptures as well, such as Micah 5:2, where Bethlehem is mentioned as the place where the Messiah is to be born. And so these passages all through the Old Testament are scattered. There's this sprinkling of these prophecies that we call messianic prophecies, reminding us of the coming of the Lord Jesus. I'd like to read the account given in Matthew. The angel speaks to Joseph, and he says, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for it is he that shall save his people from their sins." Now all this has come to pass, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, "God with us." And Joseph arose from his sleep, and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth a son, and he called his name Jesus. And then chapter 2 goes on to speak of his birth and the wise men coming. Now the Lord Jesus was born in a normal way. His mother, Mary, went through the pains of childbirth. She knew what it was to have labor pains. She knew what it was to deliver the child in a normal way. And yet we know that this birth, even though it was normal in so many ways, yet the conception, the beginning of this life within the womb of Mary was a miracle. He was begotten of the Holy Ghost. He was born of God in a very special way. This was God becoming flesh, the Son of God taking the form of man. And so there's a wonderful miracle here, isn't there? As we think of Mary here nursing this little newborn babe and kissing the babe, loving it, showing it all the affection and love of a mother, and yet realizing too that this is more than just a human babe. This is God manifest in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. And so this is the wonder of the incarnation, isn't it? When Christ himself here now assumes human flesh, he becomes one of us. Now what was the purpose in his coming? His name was to be called Jesus. Why? He shall save his people from their sins. And from the very beginning, this was emphasized over and over again, that this one who was to come, and this one who was to be born, was to be a Savior. Jesus, Jehovah is salvation. He shall save his people from their sins. And from the very beginning, from the manger itself, the shadow of the cross fell across the Lord Jesus. It fell upon him. From the beginning of his teaching, he spoke of the fact that he must die. You remember in John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. And so the cross was constantly before him. And then he went to the cross when he was about 33 years of age. He was nailed to that cross. He suffered. He bled. He died. And as he was dying, he cried those wonderful words that are recorded in the Gospel of John, "It is finished." The work of paying for our sin was finished. The ransom price for our sin was completely paid. Jesus Christ had died for our sins and had met all the demands of God. Now, the Lord Jesus has gone back to heaven. But even as there were those who were waiting for the Messiah to come 2,000 years ago, even so today there are many people that are waiting for Jesus to come. He's promised to come again. And I'd like to just remind us of this wonderful truth. This is a central part of the Christian message. The Lord Jesus, who went away, said, "I'm going to come back again." In John chapter 14, as he was speaking to the disciples the night that he was betrayed and that he went on trial, he said these words, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Here he gives his disciples this promise. This night, when there was so much confusion in their thinking and they were discouraged, he was talking of his death. He says, "Listen, I'm going away. I'm going to prepare a place for you, but," he says, "I'm going to come again. I'm going to receive you to myself." His promise that he would come back again. As he went up to heaven, and as their eyes were longingly looking at him as he was being taken up from their midst, and they stood there with their eyes looking toward heaven, trying somehow to bring him back even by their gaze, it would seem, the angels that came and stood by them said, "Why stand you here looking up into heaven?" And they said, "This same Jesus," this is in Acts chapter 1, "which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And the angels here restate this promise. He's coming back. And the apostles, as they went about preaching, were preaching and emphasizing the fact that Jesus Christ, this one who has gone away, is going to come back. This was a part of their message, a very essential part of their message, the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Let me read one of these passages that the apostles wrote, in this case the apostle Paul. This is 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that are fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall in no wise precede them that are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." The promise of his coming. The promise that when he comes, he's going to come physically, literally. The angel said, as you've seen him go, he's going to come back. He went up in a body. He's coming back in a body. Now, many people today would spiritualize this coming, and they would perhaps say that Jesus comes in the spirit of Christmas, or Jesus comes in the spirit of peace, or Jesus comes in the spirit of brotherly love. But the Bible, when it speaks of his coming, emphasizes a literal, physical coming of the Lord Jesus. And I believe that the Lord Jesus, who went away in a physical body, a body that could be touched, could be handled, he was real. He wasn't just a ghost or a spirit, something that was immaterial, but he was real. This same Jesus is coming back again. Now, what is the order of events that's going to happen when he comes? We don't know the day nor the hour, he says. And Christians in every age have been looking for his coming, longing for his coming, although he said it'd be a long time. But in every age, Christians love him and long for the time when he's going to come back, this wonderful Savior that loved them, that died for them, They're longing to see him. What's the order of events that he said will take place? In 1 Thessalonians 4 here, where we read, he said the dead believers are going to be raised first. Some of us have loved ones who've died, who've gone to be with the Lord. Some of us have a mother, a brother, a sister, a father. They died as believers. When the Lord Jesus comes back, the scripture says, they're going to be raised first. They're not going to be left behind when he comes. They'll be raised first, and then the promise is we that are living Christians are going to be changed. 1 Corinthians 15 especially emphasizes this, that this body is going to be wonderfully changed. This body that here is subject to sin and subject to death, subject to sickness, subject to failure, is going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he says, into a body like that of the Lord Jesus. Never more subject to sin. Never more subject to death. Never more knowing failure. A body that will be perfect. A body that will be suited to a spiritual life. What a wonderful hope. And then he says, all together we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. This is the wonderful promise we have. Now, when believers are caught up to meet the Lord, the scripture says there's going to be a judgment seat. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, he says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And Christians are going to have their lives gone over. Their lives are going to be examined. The Lord Jesus is going to ask us, what have you done with your life? How have you lived for me? And there will be reward according to our faithfulness. This is the promise of God's word, this judgment seat of Christ. And then after this, the Lord Jesus is going to come back with his saints to set up his kingdom. And as we think of his coming, let me just read a few verses to you in Revelation chapter 20. It says when he does come back with his saints, verse 4, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and such as worshipped not the beast, neither his image, and received not the mark upon their forehead and upon their hand. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead lived not until 1,000 years should be finished. This is the first resurrection. And so the promise here is that Christ is going to reign for 1,000 years with his saints after he comes back and sets up his kingdom. Now, friend, I'd like to ask you, are you ready? Are you waiting for the Lord Jesus to come? Do you know your sins are forgiven? Because when he comes, the door is going to be shut. There'll be no further opportunity for you to accept the Lord Jesus, according to Matthew 25 and similar passages. And so today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation.